Hey, how you doing? My name is Benz Antoine. I am the voice of Baptiste in Overwatch. You are listening to the Game Fix Show. And if you ain't already tuned in, you know what I'm going to say? Be there by to yo!
Spider-Man here.
Hey, what's up? This is Dave Fennoy.
Hey, guys. This is Ashley Birch.
This is Master Daniel Piscina.
You're listening to the Game Fix Podcast.
Welcome to Game Fix Podcast.
And you're listening to the Game Fix Show.
I listen to the Game Fix Show, you know, to make me feel better about myself, about the world.
All right, partner. You know what time it is.
Let's go, Payday! Payday!
Welcome to another edition of the Game Fix Podcast. I am Spanish.
And maybe. I am Verlaine.
And I am Mike.
Yeah, Mike's here.
Yeah. Make sure to check out our website, gamefixshow.com. And if you're not already here, check out our weekly stream of our weekly recorded podcast, Game Fix Show. Oh, facebook.com/gamefixshow and twitch.tv/gamefix. Simulcast.
But you can also find those links on our website, gamefixshow.com. There's a couple things you could find there. You could find our social medias. You could like, subscribe. That would be awesome. Follow us. Please do. And you can also read all about our awesome, awesome articles that Mike has eloquently written, and as well as Gina. So please check that out, gamefixshow.com. And we're going to get to a few of those tonight. Yes. Like we always do. I say that like it's a new thing. Like, oh, we're going to get to those. No, we get to those every week. So, all right. But, yeah, a lot going on this week, as per usual. I think I say that all the time too. Do I always say that?
Like, that would be considered a crutch phrase, I guess.
There's a lot going on this week. There's always a lot going on. So, yeah, but we got to get into, there's some Call of Duty updates that I'm kind of like, wait, what? A new Fortnite character. Are you excited about? No, don't even answer that. I know what you're gonna say. Is the PlayStation 5 too fast? Well, yeah, we'll get to that. And also, I think at the end we got to get Verlaine to talk about the return of the Fandalorian. So he can give his little, because you haven't really talked about it. So I'd like to. The Book of Boba Fett, right? So we will get to that at the end, yeah. Or we can do it now. No, we'll wait. So, all right. So, but before we do all of those stories, as well as more than that, we got to talk about what we've been gaming this week. So why don't Verlaine start us off? What have you been gaming this week?
actually, I guess a lot. Rainbow Six, I'm still dabbling in with Jack. We just had a session and pretty much lost all our guys. So now we're at a part where we have guys, but they're the people that, you know, they're not really good for what we need to start doing. Yeah. You know, they're like the healers or the guy, the sledgehammer guy who, you know, he's cool, but, you know, he's not very tactical. Hitman. So when you play Hitman 3, or the Hitman Collection on the cloud via Game Pass, when you play it on the cloud, you're just automatically, for some reason, at least I was, just automatically playing just Hitman 3.
Okay.
I install the game, and that's when you get all of them.
Oh.
And you have every single level, and you know, you can, if you're starting at higher levels, will say, hey, are you sure you want to do this and not do that? But dude, no one's going to start from the beginning. This game is so goddamn big. Everything, like, this is a game, like, an entire series that is just probably the most worth it ever, the most worth it game ever made.
Wow.
The most replay value for a non-online game ever.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, to this day, you can just give me the very first free level that they gave people, because they charged... When Hitman 1 came out, they charged episodically. So you could buy the first one and then skip the second one, buy the third one. Like, they did it like that. Or you could buy all of them together. So I had the first one, which they gave for free, maybe for like a gold or something. And like, Dude, it's like they made the game perfectly because everybody knows Hitman, but they made it way more sandboxy now, way more open, like to do whatever the hell you want, not very like no path really at all. And that's so great because I will like, you know, you just go do the game the way the game wants you to do it first, which actually ends up once you really do it, it's almost easy. Then you have the option of either going to the next level or you can kill everybody different ways and earn different equipment to start different levels with and unlock different areas to start said the same mission with to kill the person a different way, like poisoning them. Then you get a challenge, which will unlock a special weapon or a skin. And like, it gives you incentive, the best incentive and the most fun incentive to keep playing a level over and over and over and over again. Not to mention the fact that you could just go out gun blazing and try to see what happens. You know, the game is so fun. It's one of those games where it's like you get Spider-Man and you have missions, but then you always find yourself just dicking around, swinging around the city, saving people that has nothing to do with the story. This game does the same thing, but inside a fucking level. Like, so like you don't even need, it's crazy. Play the fucking game. I've been playing it and I'm just jumping back and forth between 3 and 1 now. So it's almost like I'm doing 3 because it's new, but then it's like, meanwhile, like this is how it all started. And then I'll do like an older episode. The game is like probably one of my favorite games that I don't play a lot, for sure. And it's on Game Pass. That was great. Just install the game. I tried a couple new ones.
Hold on. Donovan, he just said, should try the sniper game mode if you haven't.
I was about to do that today, and I hope it's like they did a challenge when the first one came out, like a sniper challenge. You can just do everything being a sniper. I wanted to try that, and I wanted there's another game mode, the arcade mode, that I haven't tried. So, yes, Donovan, definitely going to try that.
For sure.
I played this really cool game. It wasn't cool. Crossfire, you played with me. And
Crossfire!
Jack.
Remember that beloved game?
With the balls, it came back out again.
Did it?
Yeah.
You caught up in the...
Yes, he knows. Yeah. Crossfire! Crossfire! So
this game sounded familiar, like and it's brand new on Game Pass, but it sounds familiar because it's played, like, I think in Korea, maybe, competitively. Okay. It's like their version of Counter-Strike.
That's what it felt like. Yeah.
And it is. They have the modern game mode, which adds, you know, more equipment and then the aiming down the sights and stuff. Yep. Or you can play the classic one, which would be just like Counter-Strike. Dude, there's a level in there which is almost identical to, what is it, D-Dust?
You'd know better than me.
The most popular map.
Okay.
So, you know, whatever. I uninstalled it. I get it.
I get it.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's fair.
I played this game called Infernax.
Yes, so did I. And
you played it.
Yes,
okay,
of course.
Good.
Of course
I
did.
Oh, my God. This game, like, I summed it up by saying, because it's not just straight up like Castlevania.
Yeah.
It's like Castlevania and Link's Awakening, or Link's Adventure.
Okay.
Zelda 2.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
I got the feeling of Zelda 2 like the whole time I'm playing it, just because, you know, you could hold the shield out and just do nothing and block.
Right, in a block.
There's patterns to the enemies.
Sure.
So
have you played this, Mike?
I haven't heard of this.
Oh, dude, this is completely up your alley, dude. Like 100% up your alley. Okay, go ahead. Sorry for that.
I love Zelda 2.
Okay.
Yes, it's like if Zelda 2, if the whole game was side scroller and there is no top down, there are still side quests. There are quests that, you know, you don't even, you have to talk to people. Like one guy will be like, I can't get to work because blah, blah, blah is blocking the bridge. That's it. If you happen to go to the bridge and save it, you know what I'm saying? Like you do things. You can, they have save points that are like Dark Souls and stuff, like certain checkpoints where you can either upgrade, you can save, and that's it. Like those are the only save points. You can pick two different types of game, casual or hardcore. I think the game is awesome. Like I just love playing the game right now. Like I'm just very interested in how big it's gonna get because there's already been like a couple boss fights. And they're pretty sweet.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. I'm really into it. I'm into the nostalgic sound effects. Like, just the very first scene of going on, pulling up onto shore from the boat and the...
It's all MIDI. It's sweet. Yeah, totally.
Like, THD surf design is what that reminded me of.
Yep.
So yeah, Infernax, it's on Game Pass. Play it. It's sweet.
Yeah.
It's sweet. And then,
Mike, you're going to dig that. I swear.
Yeah. I'm looking at images of this now. I'm in love with this.
Already. I told you, dude. Yes. All right, go ahead. Sorry for that.
Last one is Anvil Vault Breaker. We tried to play because,
but it's only
play three players, but was only letting us do two. I'm thinking it was, remember,
like the first level is two or something like that.
Remember Streets of Rage did that?
You
have to beat it first and then you can get multiplayer.
Some
shit like that.
That's so dumb.
So
talk about a reason to turn the game off immediately.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
The game is cool. I mean, if everybody could play, like, it's cool co-op. It's kind of like one of those normal games we play that are like Hades and, you know, those roguelikes, the dungeon ones that are it's just five levels. It's totally like takes place on like five different planets. They're all random which one you go to. And at the very end, you fight a boss. And if you get that, beat that boss, you get to move on to the bigger planet and sections and blah, blah, blah. But it's cool. Top down shooter, sticks, dual sticks. There's some abilities and stuff, kind of gauntlet y. So yeah, that's my foray into gaming.
Only this week, though. Ooh.
Yeah.
Michael, what about you?
I had a little bit of a light week. I started out the week by playing Overcooked with you and Jack a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And it's really intense.
Well, actually, it was just you and me. Remember, we didn't get the three players.
Oh, yeah,
but
that's right.
But we're going to do that. We're going to do that for sure. Yeah.
It's three also, like taking forever and a day to load because my internet's kind of
fresh. Would you say, Verlaine?
Is three the max?
I think four is the max.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can have four. I think there'd be like a dummy AI in the game, but it's just like, you know, like controls. It's you know, very simplistic, and it's so addictive to the point where I want to get good at it, to the point where it will like frustrate me.
Well, it's supposed to. It trust me, it will frustrate you. But I'm telling you right now, the best feeling is actually like beating it, like, you know, getting that three star and you're just like, oh yes, like finally we did it, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone's supposed to get those four stars without like an expert cook or unless you just have like total synergy with somebody. That's a game that it gave me flashbacks of when I used to work in a kitchen during overnight in a gas station, and I would have like one other really incompetent coworker who I'd have to like end up like making the mistakes for.
Verlaine.
I'd end up like doubling back. So like when I was playing with you, and one of the reasons why I'm like trying to grab the tomatoes and then run to them to throw them into the pot, you're saying, oh, I've got it, it's because I'm used to doing that kind of shit.
Yeah, well, you see, Mike, it's not about preparing food, it's about playing the game correctly. And that sounded like a smart ass comment, and it was meant to be. So there you go. What else?
Let's see. King of Fighters 15 came out a couple days ago.
I was this close to buying it.
Yeah, I was gonna put it on hold because I wanted to get on PC because I don't want to play another like 10 year of consoles. I don't want to play another 10 year of fighting games on console because crossplay is always iffy, and the online fidelity between like console and PC, there's always like a little bit of a lag. Like, I mean, after 5 years of Street Fighter V, where there's like already like five frames of input delay, plus the game's already written on bad netcode, and King of Fighters 14 also had pretty iffy delay based netcode. This one does have rollbacks, so the matches are smoother. And if you played 15, if you played 14, this one adopts a lot of the same mechanics. They've like switched up the max mode so that you no longer have to be in like max mode to use like EX moves, and the other one you'd have to activate. And if you wanted to do stronger attacks, you can only do it that way. But the window was only like for a short time, so you'd have like 8 seconds of beefed up attacks. Now you can just burn regular meter for EX attacks, and this is a pretty crafty way to extend combos. I'm sad some of my favorite characters from 14 didn't make it in. But this is still a pretty solid game. I think the storyline kind of sucks.
Didn't they do a one of the SNK games have a whatever they're calling? What do they call it when you the fighting style that you pick?
Like the grooves,
whatever the grooves would be. But wasn't there one that actually did that, what they're touting this game does, and it was the blue one that kind of made your extended your combos, right? I mean, yeah. It was pretty much what it was.
Yeah. And then there's like quick max mode, which doesn't last as long, but you can chain some of the other like super moves, and then you can super cancel into like other moves without having to like burn the previous meter.
I'm thinking of Street Fighter Alpha. Had the blue one that you can burn and just go into the hyper like combos.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
just like jab, 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 jab.
Yeah, like the V-isms. Like, yes. There's people that want that back in fighting games. Like, I mean, once you fought a Vega that had like V-ism and he's just tapping light punch, yeah, you're dead.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have any stories with that game. I feel
I'm excited to play it, though. I still want to try it. I want to try the Fatal Fury for sure. Cool. Or King of Fighters.
Cool.
Yeah. It's an up solid.
Dude, I have a feeling they are going to add some pretty cool characters to the roster. I don't know. They may have already announced everything. I don't know what they do with fighting games, but I have a feeling that this one they'll have some pretty cool like extra characters.
Yeah, with a lot of the leaks that came out, and I guess there's no way, and I'll just lay it here. They do want to include some Samurai Showdown characters. Mm-hmm. As a part of like the team pack for the second half of 2022, of course they had already announced the Team Garo. I talked about them like a couple of shows ago.
Yeah.
And then there's another team. They're going to put Rugal Bernstein, the boss from the original Orochi arc. So he's making his way back in. I keep hoping that they include a son, Idleheide, who hasn't been seen as a playable character since like KOF 2002, 2003, I think. In like the previous story arc, Idleheide and his sister Rosa were running the KOF tournaments. But as of the end of like the Ash Crimson arc, they haven't really been a part of like anything major. And we don't know who the benefactor who's running the current tournament in the 15 storyline.
Bison.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
they need like a next gen SNK crossover with us.
I hope that's happening because like they're already doing a Street Fighter crossover for the KOF All Stars Bubble game. So
really,
yeah,
oh, yeah. Why not? Like they're both kind of like stagnant right now. Like I love the SNK because most of their games do crossover all their stuff. But it's like getting tiring almost. Like I've been playing SNK All Stars, and that has what's his name? That has some of the Samurai Showdown guys in it. It's got Terry in it.
Yeah,
right. Is that the game I'm talking about?
Yep.
Yeah.
They wrapped up a crossover with like Dead or Alive and Guilty Gear and WWE last year.
What?
Yeah, I missed out on that one.
Why so not?
I
missed
God. John Cena in the game.
Of course there was John Cena in the game. And as John Cena or like maybe Peacemaker or what else other he could have been.
His character from what was that movie called? Trainwreck?
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. Didn't he have like a neck tattoo or something like that? Or something like that.
Right.
All right. Is that it? Anything else?
Yeah, that's
about it. Okay, well, obviously you've heard what I've been playing, Infernax, Overcooked, and what was the other one? Oh, Crossfire. But the game that I'm most excited about to talk about actually came out, it came out on Friday night, and it was... just gives you chills. Horizon Forbidden West. This game... Is
Horizon because you're a girl?
Wait, what?
Go ahead, go on.
Oh, okay, I don't know what that even meant. This game is insane. It's incredible. It's huge. It's perfect. I don't want to say perfect. I can't say that. But it's pretty.
New game's a masterpiece.
Yeah, it's a masterpiece. I'll give you that. At this point, I'm only about 4 hours in or so. But yeah, it's pretty awesome. You know, and just like they do in all like sequel games where, you know, you kind of start with nothing again, you know, but they kind of did it the right, you know. It was like she got into a really big fight before the game started with other, and she lost all her equipment or something, you know, like they always have to like throw that in there. But yeah, the game is awesome. There is one thing that I can complain about. When it goes into a cutscene, Aloy's hair just doesn't look real. I don't know. There's something about it that, like, because she's kind of got, like I don't know what you can call it, braids or dreadlocks or whatever she has, you know. And they just look like, you know, like she's standing still and they're moving still. I'm like, why are they moving? Stop moving. And it's a nitpick I get, but, like, you know, it kind of every time I see it, it kind of takes me out, and I'm just like,
They're doing it so, like, I mean, they started doing that stuff to avoid the CGI.
Yeah.
And for a while, like, yeah, like it, a lot of games pull it off. Like Rise, Son of Rome, did it perfectly.
Yeah.
Like blent right in. And sometimes I can't even remember because it happened to me with a game, and it was the same thing. It was long hair, and it was like the hair wouldn't. In those scenes wouldn't know, like, there's no physics going on, so it, instead of doing nothing, it does everything.
Yeah,
some shit. I don't know. Does the game play the same as the first one?
Yeah, pretty much. There's some differences, but yeah, from more like you could pick it up and like know how to play it. Totally.
Right.
Jack said that it's just another third person adventure game. Well, Jack, yeah. How's Guardians of the Galaxy, Jack?
I know, that's one of them too.
He's been playing that. It's great. The storyline is pretty solid. So far so good. I will be obviously reporting back as I play. Now there is one mode in the game that I was really, really kind of excited for. There's two modes. Okay. One mode is like a storyline mode where, you know, it's pretty much played just like the first one. You have like, you could see your mission. You can see things on the map. Like, you know, it's just like a third person adventure game, you know, like, and it's exactly kind of what you expect it to be. But there's also a mode, and you can start the game as an explorer. Now the explorer gives you no HUD, nothing on the map. You're literally just walking around, just exploring. So
yeah,
it's
about how it does that.
Yeah, that's right. It's very immersive. It's a very cool thing that they added as far as the Horizon games go. And yeah, I'm excited to actually get into that. I'm going to once I get through the story mode, like the regular story, I'm gonna go back, restart the game in explorer mode, and just see how we can do it. Like it's crazy. Like you can still press start and you can see the map, but that's all you have. Just have a map. So
I would want to do that in VR. Like,
totally.
You'll talk to somebody and they'll be like, hey man, meet Miguel in the city on top of the, like by the cross.
Miguel.
And then you're like, okay. And then you have to, and that's what lost me in Valhalla. Cause they were like, talk to this person, you have to remember their names, and that's all, because then you have to go to where they say, find it somehow.
Yeah,
if you find where they're talking about, then you got to find who the hell you're supposed to find, and you have to do everything by listening, and you have to do that exploring shit.
Yeah.
They're just like, yeah, he's somewhere in the fucking forest.
Sure.
But that's a game that I would play in VR, where you're just another world. Like, you see somebody, you talk to them, they say, hey, you know, head north until this happens, and talk to the dude in a wheelchair. Sweet.
Right. Sweet.
You know, that'd be sweet to do. Like,
yeah,
I mean, that could just be an ongoing second life.
Totally. Yeah, no, it's
that like co-op? Do you like interact with like the environment or their enemies in it? Because that sounds kind of cool. It's like giving yourself your own guided tour of like the game's world.
It's just minus. Yeah, it's minus all the help. So instead of logos and things on the map or like something above someone's head saying talk to them, you just have to find somebody, like whoever you start out the story with, and they're, instead of you not even having to pay attention to the story, and then just like a marker will appear where you have to go, nothing's going to appear at all, and you should have been listening, because if not, you can't even trigger them to talk again.
Happened
to me in Valhalla too.
Yeah,
you have to, like, you have to pay attention. But I feel
that
there's a lot of different things. Yeah, a lot of different branches then that can end up taking you.
Yeah. No, the game's awesome. If you are a fan of the first one, you're gonna love the second one. It's pretty much at this point as much as I could say about it. So and you know, like I said, so far so good. Yeah, it's good. It's good. I'm excited. So, all right. So that's what we've been playing. Let us know what you've been playing in the comment section. We'd love to hear it. So, all right. So let's get into some stuff. There's something that caught our eye, and we're kind of wondering what the hell is going on. So tonight at 1 a.m., there is a countdown, a Capcom countdown, and it, like I said, it ends at 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I guess you would say that Monday morning, right? Monday, it's 1 a.m. Monday. Yep. And that's all it is. And we're not really sure what it is, although there are some speculation, and people are thinking that it might be a DLC for the new Resident Evil Village. I don't know. What say you? Mike, go first.
I almost feel like if that were to happen, it would probably be like Resident Evil Reverse, or Reverse, I don't know how they call it. Like, I feel like Resident Evil should take a little bit of a break. Like, I think it's had a pretty nice successful run of a game since they've been like relaunching the this new take on the lore, and whether or not it's going to clash with the other. I wonder if they're eager to do that. I wonder if they're eager to kind of like cross the streams of the original Resident Evil story, with the Ethan Winters plot line. Cause like Chris Redfield has already shown up in a village. And if that's going to be the case, I guess it wouldn't be too bad of a deal, but there were also talks of that Resident Evil 4 remake that was rumored.
Which is what Jack just said. Actually, yeah, he kind of beat you to it, but yeah, yeah. actually, Donovan said new Street Fighter. We're actually going to get to that later in the show, just so
you know. Yeah, I think it's got something to do with at least something other than Resident Evil. I dropped off the Resident Evil bandwagon after like Veronica. And I never really got into them because, frankly, like I never wanted to play them at night by myself. So
you're scared. So,
and the ones that I
to played, be fair, like, to be fair, it's horror video games scare me more than horror movies.
Yeah, because you're totally into them and you're doing stuff. Totally. So like I beat the first two, and then I was playing Veronica, and it even happened to me playing the first one. I stopped for a little bit and got back in and had no fucking idea where I was and had to start all over. Anyways, I digress. I don't know much about Resident Evil except for the fact that when it comes to Capcom nowadays, that's pretty much everything that they are right now. Like everything, like they'll throw in what just came out, Monster Hunter maybe every once in a while, but like it seems that Resident Evil, whether it's the movie or whatever, like that is what is just a constant right now for Capcom. And that's why I think like, I mean, sure, they're dumb enough to do something like this. Like, big countdown, no explanation. Hey, look, it's a fucking Mega Man hat for the fucking Resident Evil game you're playing to make you fucking laugh or something. Wouldn't surprise me, but it's just, we need something Street Fighter, anything Street Fighter. Like, anything Street Fighter, especially saying, hey, Street Fighter's coming. And it's not just PlayStation.
That's what I'm hoping for. Like no console exclusivity for a fighting game is the worst thing that can happen to it.
Yeah, like, especially now.
Yeah, like it would help for the player base to find out which format's going to be the tournament standard. And if they opened up cross play across consoles, I mean that'd be even better.
Which they will. Yeah, I think that will happen.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. So
it's like that's what it's like. Maybe they'll announce Darkstalkers, even though they've like gutted that franchise 20 years ago. Jeez. They don't care.
You know, they never put like what they put fucking. They never put Donovan. They put Donovan in some weird ass game. Oh, they put him in a fighting game that not a lot of people was it. No, Dimitri was Capcom in
Fighting Evolution.
Yes, but he's one that I wanted since the first kind of crossover thing. And then SNK Chaos had Dimitri. everybody has Morrigan. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the hell's what her big deal is. She's been in every single one of them, dude. Give us the fucking werewolf.
Yeah, John Talbain, Recoil, yes. Like Victor, Frankenstein's monster. Come on, like give me those characters.
They gave us the Pharaoh and fucking Red Riding Hood.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Darkstalkers definitely, dude. If they redid Darkstalkers, I don't even give a shit. I don't even need to see gameplay. I'll buy it.
Same.
Wow. Like, wow. That's like, a big statement. Yeah.
Yeah, like Capcom was never high on it because it didn't sell as much as Street Fighter because, of course, it's fucking not going to.
Yeah, at that point, like everything was a clone. You can't come out with a clone in the era of clones and expect it to do well.
Yeah, it's just going to get lost SNK. In the shuffle. Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking of Donovan, he did say, what if it's a live action TV series? A Resident Evil?
It probably is.
It probably is. He's probably right, actually.
A cartoon, yeah, Mega Man.
Something. Ugh. It's like, I don't know. There's a lot when it comes to like video game adaptations, obviously. And I mean, just like, I haven't seen the new Uncharted, but it's getting terrible reviews. So I'm like, oh man, like I was really looking forward to this. And yeah, so
well, need to come out with, I mean, just the game itself, like, come on. And I'm not even trying to sound like a dick, but like,
you are, though.
Like,
so it's all good.
Guy Tomb Raider. It's like Indiana fucking Jones, Pitfall, all that. You got to give us more. And then they did give us more, a little bit of like Mayan creepiness. But Tomb Raider has that type of shit now.
Well, Horizon might be the female Uncharted.
Dude, if they made a movie of
there's
Horizon,
a lot of climbing, trust me.
Horizon would make a way better movie. There's more science fiction, and it hasn't been done. Treasure hunting / spy genre, like, it's been done. So if you're not going to do something out of the ordinary,
like what other elements could you take out of Uncharted to make it like translate to the big screen and feel like it's its own identity without bunking off of something
you
else?
Don't, you know, you as an executive say, damn, this is one of our most money making titles that we have. We could pump one out and people, no matter what, that we can say that the story is butchered, wait for a new one and they still will buy it. Let's take all these funds and instead of making a live action piece of shit, make another fucking game.
Yeah, that's what we all want anyway.
Like, make another game because yeah, some that's games what we want. Need, like Uncharted needs to be a game. Tomb Raider needs to be a game.
Yeah.
The movies were fine, but it needs to be a game, like because we have Indiana Jones. Yeah. It's dumb as
Jack,
that sounds.
Like, Jack even agrees. Crazy climbing scenes. That's Uncharted. So
cliffhanger.
Okay, like they like threw that little train tidbit, like the train that's like flying off the like mountainside. And, yeah. Like, I don't know if that, like, I think that was from Uncharted 2.
One of the games does start on a train, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
And the plane scene
is
where
three.
He's, you know,
it's three.
That's happened before.
That, yeah, that's in three.
Yeah. That's like kind of weird because this is young Nathan Drake. Why is he experiencing these things that happen in like games later?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine though. That really doesn't bother me just because, like, I mean, we have Marvel. They take liberties with the storylines and shit like that. So that honestly, that doesn't bother me. It's fine. Will Mark Wahlberg be a good what's his face? Solly. Yeah. Will he be? I don't know. I'm kind of like, you know, he's mustache and he's not a silver fox. I'm confused here. What's going on here?
It's weird. Like, it's just like, as I said, I like Mark Wahlberg. He's at the point in his career now where I go, hey, Mark Wahlberg's in this thing.
Yeah, right?
And I'm like kind of distracted by that.
Yeah. No, I like Mark Wahlberg though. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. All right. Let's move on. Let's move on to Call of Duty. It's Verlaine's favorite game, obviously. He talks about it all the time. So apparently they're making improvements on this anti-cheating thing. I don't even, whatever. They're calling it Ricochet anti-cheat system.
I saw it in action.
Oh, you did? Oh, hold on. Save that thought. They actually talked about what is new. Here, let me read this. He says, one mitigation technique that we've been testing is something we call damage shield. When the server detects a cheater is tampering with the game in real time, It disables the cheater's ability to inflict critical damage on other players. This mitigation leaves the cheater vulnerable to real players and allows hashtag Team Ricochet to collect information about a cheater's system. Ooh. Verlaine, what bullshit do you read out of that? Because I'm sure you do.
No, I know. I've seen it. I've seen them use it.
I don't believe you.
These guys, like, it's pretty much what it says. It showed, the video was this dude. He was with his friends, and they were flying in a helicopter.
Yeah.
And they were getting shot at by a dude, and he was damaging the helicopter, but not the person. And then he's like, hold on. And they jump out of the helicopter and land, and the whole time the guy, the cheater, is hitting both of them, and he's like, dude, look at your life bar, and their life wasn't depleting at all. So he ran all the way up to the cheater point blank, the dude's unloading on him, and did his fatality on him.
Oh, that's so funny.
So they can't hurt you when they're using their cheating abilities.
Yeah,
that's, it seems big, and when you watch it, you're like, wow, that's crazy. However, like, there's other ways that you can cheat. Like, even just like, I mean, there's got to be more than just damage going on, because even if they can see you from across the map, they can just then turn it off and then kill you. Or, I mean, my biggest question is like, okay, you have this fucking software that can detect when a cheater's cheating.
Yeah.
Fucking kick them out of the goddamn game.
They're gone. Just not them. Now they're not there.
Don't let them fucking play.
That's fair.
And have little fucking games with them.
Yeah.
You detect cheaters live. And you're not getting rid of, you're letting them fucking play. Even if they can't kill people, they're still playing.
Great
and
point.
Still, dude, imagine if you were in a server full of cheaters. Okay, you're a god. You can't be killed. But guess what? Your entire game, you're getting suppressive vibration and blood, you know, like you're getting shot. So that's still going to affect it. If someone's just in your face shooting a gun while you're trying to play, it's still going to interfere with your game.
Yeah.
So you get them the fuck out and don't say, ha-ha. Fight back. Like, don't even let them in your goddamn game.
Yeah.
Because they're going to learn from that. You're learning from them, just like they're learning from you. So while you're letting them in the game, trying to get all this information about their computer and how they're cheating, they're learning everything else on how they're going to be able to rework it and avoid it. Just get the fuck out of the game.
I can't disagree with that. That's, yeah, I think you nailed it. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, like the tech is barely staying one step ahead of the hackers, so you're giving them more access to it. So if the idea is to just humiliate them via gameplay, woohoo!
Yeah.
That's they're not
gonna
enough. See
it, and they're gonna learn. Like, all of a sudden, they should just ban, instantly ban. So then there will be no story saying, hey, this is what's happening, cheaters, warning. It's just all of a sudden a cheater is gonna talk to another cheater and be like, what the fuck happened? I don't know. I turned the cheat on and I fucking got kicked out of the game and I can't play anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
End of story.
No.
Nobody has to know anything.
Yep. And it's in the, and then it's not a storyline, and you exactly. don't have to make up a fucking hashtag Team Ricochet.
Yeah, they don't get their fucking, what all they want is attention. So yeah. They want to be martyrs. They want to be the guy who did this. Well, eliminate them while they're doing nothing and nobody knows about it. Like, you ruined everything they even work for.
Yeah.
Like, everything they cheat for in video games, you just strip from them by just silently, like, not letting them play anymore.
That's a great idea. Great idea, man. I don't know. All right. Anything else you guys want to say about that?
You know what though? It's a brand new map.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, brand new map. Right. So I kind of want to try it out a little bit because it's
play some guns, dude. I'm in. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah.
Guns, yeah.
Guns.
All right. Move on to some other stuff. We go from cheating to the PlayStation 5 is just, I'm sorry, dude. It's just way too fast. It's
way too fast. Jeez.
I mean, come on. All right.
This is why.
Hold on. Hold. Go ahead. I was going to explain why I'm saying that, but okay.
It's why developers develop, is what you were going
to
say.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. So when it comes to Horizon Forbidden West, they are saying that the PlayStation 5 is loading way too fast. This just makes me laugh. So what the devs did, and I don't know if this is, like, I don't even understand. Hold on. Well, before I tell you exactly what happened, Let me ask you this. Do you read tips during load screens?
I was just about to ask
Mike,
you.
Mike, so, do you read tips?
No.
No?
Read them?
Verlaine, do you read them?
So.
Do you, let me, do you look forward to them? Like, oh, I need to find something else out that I didn't know.
No.
No.
But no. I mean, there is a time, though, the tip evolution is a whole different topic. But there is a time where I have put in a game and didn't know what the fuck, I forgot how to play, and those tips helped me.
Okay.
When the tip comes up and says, there's a couple times the tip will come up and be like, you know, push in both sticks to activate this. Holy shit, I had no fucking idea, because games don't have books. And a lot of times they don't have tutorials either. I mean, that's how they're trying to like sneakily make the replay value more, is by hiding shit and not saying anything. So it's like, oh, so yeah, but I get what you're saying. Like,
well, okay. So this is what happened. So the devs have made load times for Horizon Forbidden West slower, so you can actually read those tips. Now, how helpful is that? To me, it's not. Fuck that. Let's just go, man. I'm totally into like a quick load. Like let's do this. I mean, we come from a generation of video gaming that a retro game is you plug it in, right? You turn it on, and in less than what, 15 seconds, you're in the game and you're already playing, right? Like, that's what we're used to. That's what we want. And for the longest time, for an entire almost 15 years or whatever, we got load times. We got 2.5 minute, 3 minute, 4 minute load times. Now we're getting no load times, and they're like, I don't know. This is making me nervous.
To me, it's... There's something fishy, because
okay, like what?
You're
what
right. Are you like,
what
are you they thinking? Were like for some reason they were striving. Like, we had load times, and load times got really long. Yeah. The bigger the games got, and we understood that usually the first load takes the longest.
True.
And then some games would add little mini games in the middle of it, or the classic, hey, you can browse all the menu items while we're loading,
or like the Skyrim. Like, here's a sword that you can look at.
Yeah, it's something to do, like while it's happening, and you know, and then eventually it became reading, and then what happened was a company, like their policy, like part of being able to even be on their digital platform, was that your load screens had to have an animation going on showing that it's doing something, and it had to have rotating tips. It had to have something, like some sort of something, right?
Right, like a circle thing. That yeah,
and it wasn't to educate or inform. It was to show the person playing that the game didn't fuck up,
yeah,
and that it's still going, and don't turn it off in the middle of it. So then we progressively want to get rid of that. And when these consoles were coming out, they were touting it. Look at fucking Ratchet and Clank, seamless, boo, 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 awesome, cool. You programmed the game to do that. The game didn't just do that because of PlayStation. And that's what we're figuring out. Because even when I'm playing on my Series X, which is, you know, scientifically more powerful than the PlayStation.
For sure.
I'm playing Hitman and I still have load times. And it's installed. And I didn't even shut the game down. So there's still load times. It's not instant. And I think what they're doing is they accidentally like made some things really, really fast on purpose. But they can't do it with everything. Because you're right. Nobody reads tips. Nobody reads tips. A developer, if you achieve the fact that you can just get your game to load instantly, that's an achievement.
Yep.
You don't fucking backpedal and take that away.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm saying.
So you don't, nobody needs the tips at all. And if they're like, oh, the game's loading too fast so people can't read the tips. Well, guess what, dude? Insert a fucking instruction manual.
Like seriously,
need your goddamn
yeah.
Tips,
all you dude. Need to do is go to the options screen, click on tips, and just list them. Yes. I mean, that's fine, right? Yeah. Like, why do we need? Because keep in mind, when you're playing a game that has tips, it might be the same one over and over and over again. Sometimes you might, or you get like five that kind of like rotate, and that's it. It's like, well, that doesn't really help us, like unless. I don't know, but like what you were saying, because like you haven't played it in a while, you put it in and it's like, okay, oh yeah, do this, this will do that. And you're like, oh, I forgot. But like, how often does that happen? Yeah,
maybe program like, the game to do that. Every game has the system has a clock. So if it's like, hey, this guy hasn't been on this game for 6 months, let's ask him if he'd like tips enabled for a little bit.
They have a controller set. Like you can see what the buttons do, the layout and all that. So why not put the tips?
most tips that people do read are during the game.
Yeah.
And even Overwatch, I play Overwatch on my Xbox, and there's when it's loading, like, you know, when the music starts, na 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 na, and it'll show the fucking scene. I don't get that. I get that for one fucking second. And you think I'm complaining that I didn't get to read the fucking little box or that I didn't get to see the beautiful art? I don't give a fuck.
It's like six seasons later, you already know what it says. Like,
yeah, it just...
This is what Verlaine hears.
That's it. The music will carry it, but
again, like, one more time. Oh, okay. Yep. That's all you get.
But yeah, it's something that, like, that's why I say, that's why developers should just, they're developers. You make the fucking game, you nerds. Don't try to think outside of your little box, because you've already failed because you're redoing a game that's already been made. Okay. No offense to anybody. So don't come out and say, hey, we had to do this because the audience wants this. No, that's not the case. You don't make those decisions. Obviously, you don't make those decisions because you don't even know why those things are there in the first place. They're not tips. Push A to jump isn't a fucking tip.
No. Press up on the left stick to move.
Who doesn't know how to do that?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Like, we don't need stupid shit like that. So, yeah, I agree. Okay, cool. Good. I'm glad we're all on the same page, just because it's just like, God, like, who? Really? That's what we're worried about? Like, whatever.
It sounds like a big ass humble brag too. Like, oh my god, our heart.
It kind of is. You're right. Yeah, yeah. It kind of is.
You know, nobody's complaining on the boards. Like, oh damn, dude, I didn't get to see this. It's so fast.
Oh man. Yeah. Right. Like, I mean, the only thing we're missing out. The only thing we're missing out as far for load times is getting up and getting a snack or taking a piss. That's like the only two things we're missing out. But obviously, with games from the beginning of time, they have a thing called a pause. Right. Like, you can pause the game. So you can do that at any time you want. So these load times at this point mean nothing. And I don't know, because
you can't get no load times on online games. You can only achieve that with a single player offline game anyways. So, yeah, you're right. If you're doing that, then you do have a pause button. So if you need time to read, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or go to the fucking library.
Go to the library and read or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to do that. You could bring the library to yourself. You have a Kindle or something like that. So, anyway.
Kindles.
Yeah, Kindle. That's for smart people or whatever. All right. All right. Let's move on. That was a good discussion. I appreciate that, guys. Yeah. Yeah. But we're going to go to
man, I'm all out of cash.
Because, you know, this is what we do. You know, so if you're out of cash, this is not free games for next month. This is actually a free game for this month in 5 days. I guess it's hard to say free, and a Mike would agree, because you pay yearly, right? Like, it's a yearly thing, but whatever. Yeah. This game is coming to the Nintendo Switch. It is The Legend of Zelda's Majora's Mask. Are we excited, Mike? Are we excited about this?
Middle.
Right? Oh my god, Nintendo, like, man.
At this point, I've kind of given up a lot on like whatever it is that they add to the Nintendo Switch Online service, because it feels like they've completely dropped the NES and Super Nintendo libraries. Those haven't been updated in like about 4 months.
Like, they have the fucking ability to upload at least one new game a month on both Nintendo and SNES. Like, why don't they do that?
What if this happened? What if Nintendo, in their processes of licensing games and stuff, although everything had that seal of approval, especially with NES, this Nintendo seal of approval, to us it meant almost like first party. But actually they just did their deals really bad, where it was like, okay, you can be on our system, like Capcom with Mega Man or whatever, but they never took the extra step to actually owning the properties. Therefore, time has passed and emulation is a thing. And it's not that, like, we know they have thousands of games, but they obviously never did the whole owning the actual game, as opposed to just letting it be on the console, which I don't know how that would work. But, you know, like Xbox with backwards compatibility, it's almost like all the games that they're doing, they must have some sort of stake in that actual game.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of them they can't, because they don't, because of licensing. So maybe Nintendo just never thought that way in the past, and just figured everything was going to be on hard copy. And now, like, they own nothing to be, like, emulated.
Yeah.
I thought about that because I was thinking about, like, Konami Classics. I was thinking, okay, what if for, like, the NES they can put, like, a Konami bundle on there? And then it hit me that the only games that they'll put on there are things like Life Force and Gradius. There's no Contra on the Nintendo portion of the Switch Online. There's no Jackal. There's no Twin B. So I wonder if maybe Konami is either like up their price for like a bargaining chip on if you want these games on your platform, because otherwise Nintendo's just throwing like obscure games on there or like Fire and Ice.
That's pretty much all they're doing is putting obscure games on there, right? Like
yeah,
that's
like who the hell wants to play fucking bad street brawlers?
Nobody.
And mediocre Jalico brawlers.
Hell like, no, nobody. Jalico. Yeah, yeah, dude, you're right. I would agree. It's just, I don't know. Something Verlaina said that, you know, Nintendo is their own worst enemy, and it's another thing. It's like, oh, we're giving you a new 64 game that a lot of people enjoyed. But does anyone really care about it anymore? I don't know.
People want to see if there's like Game Boy Advance blocks coming or like even like the GameCube. Like, okay, the GameCube had a small library, but there's still a lot of games that people missed on there, like Bots and Kaidos and Eternal Darkness. Why don't they do that instead of just sort of like dropping little tidbits like Majora's Mask? Of course, Majora's Mask is going to end up on,
right.
on like a service.
Yeah, so, yeah, I agree.
It's interesting that they go out of their way to, because like Nintendo's carrot and a stick approach, it's less carrot in a stick and it's more just like a carrot attached to another carrot. There's like no real long-term goal for how they want to market funny. These games. So it's like, yeah, we're gonna kill like other digital storefronts and everything, so hop onto the service. And what happened was is that people were like, oh, that means that Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door, one of the most rare GameCube games, is going to end up on here. We're in year 4 of this online service, and nothing of that sort. They put Claymates on there. Oh. Claymates! Who cares about Claymates?
Nobody. Nobody cares. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, Solomon there. Key in Clue Clue Land.
All right. Well, let's stick with Nintendo. You actually have something that you wrote this week. So you got a couple of stories for us there, Mike?
Yes, we do.
Hit us.
Speaking of digital storefronts. By the way, I still don't have a name for this yet because I'm terrible at branding.
We'll figure it out.
So, news came out earlier this week, or I guess earlier last week, that Nintendo will be shutting down access or functions for the 3DS and the Wii U eShops. No! God. So, yeah, this coming August, you will no longer be able to use a credit card to purchase things off of the Wii U eShop.
Oh my God.
You can still use like your cards. You can still use like your gift cards and everything. And then by March 2023, it will be decommissioned.
Gone.
Dead.
Take it away. Dead. But it is dead, right? It is dead.
The Wii U's been dead for like 3 years. The kerfuffle online is mm-hmm. about whether or not that I can't believe I just said kerfuffle.
I love it. I'm glad you did, actually.
So, is this something that hurts game preservation? Because that's been like the big discourse along like Plundins. Do you guys think that this is like Nintendo hurting game preservation? Because people are going to emulate this shit anyway. Is it really just kind of getting rid of, because we're now entering that point where digital storefronts for like the PS3, remember PlayStation was going to like yank the cord on like the Vita, the PSP, and the PlayStation 3, and fans complained and they left them on there. Now that these consoles are getting older, is it wise to keep them open for people who aren't even playing these things? Do you guys think that people are even playing these?
For Lane?
I mean, I guess it would depend on how much it costs to keep these things up and running. I would have no idea how much that is. As for game preservation, I mean, it exists in a digital form. So whether they have that or someone else does, if they really need it. And look, honestly, I've seen some of the dreck that is on the Wii Shops and that they put up there, and none of it's really even worth it. Nintendo is one that notoriously has physical copies of everything anyways. So when it comes to Nintendo, I mean, they're not. It's not like they're putting out the fucking good shit that we want to play, all those cool games. Like, I couldn't, dude, if they opened up their library and to every system and everything that they've made, however it is, even if it's a fucking $60 subscription like Game Pass, and they did it like Game Pass with the amount of games as Game Pass, I would buy a fucking Switch. That's a game, that's a system buying move right there to allow me to play all of those retro games officially on a system. All right. But they spread it out so much that, you know, I mean, I've played them all anyways. You know what I'm saying? And if I haven't, I can go online right now and find all of them anyways. So there's nothing really to preserve. Like, they kind of like, unwillingly, it's already preserved. I don't think it's a big deal. PlayStation 2, I mean, okay, not PlayStation 2. Let's say Xbox 360. I'm sure a lot of their shit you can't buy anymore from, like, the arcade games and stuff. Like, if right. you don't already own it, you can't go back there and buy it. There's some good quality shit. My favorite game on earth, the Ninja Turtle game, that is a fucking arcade-specific game. If you did not buy it, you cannot have it. I have that game. I don't even think anybody's going to care to preserve it. But even if they did, people like me still have it. It still exists. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the same thing. Like, the X-Men game, I think it was yanked off of, like, the Xbox Live Arcade, like, ages ago. Never popped back up again.
Marvel versus Capcom. Dude, they took those games off, and they even said to us flat out, they're doing it. Here, have everything for $5 each. And I still didn't jump on that. Fuck.
I regret it.
Like, yeah. But so that stuff happens. It's just that Nintendo doesn't, they don't even put, like, worth it exclusive games on there.
No.
You're not going to go onto the eShop and be like, they are not smart enough to be like, hey, guess what? Brand new fucking Mario game. It's the old Mario, but Luigi's the fucking person. But guess what? You can only get it digitally on the eShop. They will never do that. And because they will never do that, fucking preservation of their shit will never matter, because it's all hard copy or garbage. That's it.
Yeah.
Thanks. Xbox and PlayStation, on the other hand, there are some PlayStation gems that, like, even PSP, that you could maybe only get by downloading it. So that would be worth it. Those consoles themselves were kind of innovative and more powerful than anyone even knew.
So, yeah. I don't know. I remember doing some, like, reading on, like, the PSP, like, UMDs. Like, that was pretty good technology for what it was at the time. Like, if anything, like, the discs were easily scratched or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, it was something that was pretty accessible in mind. And then there's also things like the Nintendo, like, classics. They released the NES and the SNES classics. Why? Like... Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you rather have those games on the storefront?
Yeah, instead of those being like would have been exactly.
Nintendo is their own worst enemy. They really are.
We were right, though. Remember when those came out, we're like, dude, this has got to be them just testing the emulation waters, because they are 100% against it. And all of a sudden they're releasing these things that are fucking selling out. Next thing you know, the next step was emulation on the Switch.
There you go.
And they don't, you know, they're not putting it out physically anymore.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. This is just a move, obviously, that... Verlaine, you mentioned money. I think this has to do with that. Obviously, it takes amount of money to run an eShop and all that. I find it funny because, like, there's so many people online that are, like, you know, talking about this and upset about this, and like some of these comments, like, I saw that, it kind of made me laugh. It's like, does this mean they're making us buy a Switch? Yes. Yes.
That's the idea.
So, like, I don't know. Obviously, there's the Nintendo fanboys out there that, you know, like, how dare they? I still play the 3D or my 3DS. Okay, well, that's great. You know, I still play my Sega, but I'm not, like, upset that they're not making Sega games anymore. So, I don't know. It's just another one of those things where just these people are so upset about something that almost doesn't fucking matter anymore. And I don't know. I'm just kind of over that.
13.5 million people bought a Wii U. Who's still that invested in the game? And I say this, I'm a big fan of the Wii U. It was my favorite console last gen. They can kill it, and I wouldn't bat an eye.
But, it's fine.
I mean, move on. I bought everything off of the eShop that I wanted to.
Yeah, like I loved it. Another comment was, you know, they're gonna eventually cut off the Switch too. Yeah. Yeah,
That's how it works.
Nintendo
works.
Yeah,
I mean, on Xbox.
I mean, they cut off the PlayStation 3. You can't, you know, they, so it's like they move on. That's how this works. So I don't know.
There's also that bogus deal about like digital ownership. Like if you buy digital, you don't own the games. Yes, you do, because it's on the proprietary hardware that you installed it on, and it stays there.
They could. So there is a possibility that they could easily not do it. Just like with music, like even though we own a copy of that song, we don't own the music. The fucking artist owns the song or whoever fucking made it. So that's how they would play that if they were going to say, you know what? We're going to take all these games away from everybody. All the backwards or not, all the games with gold gone. They can do that and it's in their terms of service, but they're not going to, and at least not yet. Game Pass is, I think, subtly them also testing those waters, because Game Pass rotates, you know, and so they'll put on games and kind of get people wanting to play the games and then they take them off. And I guess they'll probably be seeing how much of that translates into sales. So my advice to everybody is don't buy the games that you want to buy off Game Pass, because then they'll keep giving us games on Game Pass and not taking them from us. Or they'll just charge us for the games.
Yeah.
Was like if people were looking for like Monster Hunter Worlds on Game Pass, they pulled it off because I believe it was too expensive for Microsoft to continue to pay Capcom to have it. So now there's been talks that they've been developing a Monster Hunter style game to put on Game Pass. So like
Dauntless is kind of there, the Epic game. Yeah, that's a Monster Hunter clone in Fortnite animation. But yeah, I mean, and that's fine with me. And even if they were to take a game away from me, like, oh, well, I game shared with Link before. And when we cut off, you know, when I stopped sharing, like tons of my games went away that I was like, oh, I thought I owned that.
Yeah.
But guess what? Yeah. Who's the fuck?
Yeah.
There's millions of games out there.
Yeah.
Like the original run of like Scott Pilgrim versus the world.
Berlin has James that on his 360 still.
I remember James tried to get me to log into his account so I could finally play it, and it didn't quite work, but hey, I have it on PS4 now, so
there you go.
So
it doesn't matter. I have the original. It was cool.
I have the original Flappy Bird, so what the fuck, you know, man, that's
on your Android.
All right. What's next there, Mike?
All right, so we dusted on this a little bit earlier about Capcom's ticker winding down. So, live right now, I mean, as we're recording this, Street Fighter V's season finale Capcom Pro Tour is happening. And at the end of this, it's been widely speculated that the reveal is going to be Street Fighter VI. So, There's been like two frames of thought with me.
At 10 p.m. Well, Pacific time, but 1 o'clock in the morning, that's when they're going to do it?
Because the thing's probably going on the West Coast, right?
Well, yeah, but it's still 10 p.m. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
No, it's 10 p.m. now. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, they're having players from all over the world playing. So as they have the show going, there's like players from Japan who are probably booting it up and like,
oh, they're doing an online. They do it online.
Yeah,
oh, gotcha. Well, damn, that makes sense then. Let everybody, because everybody has to watch or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm very interested. Like, so the Street Fighter community is very divided on this. Street Fighter V has been the most polarizing game in the series, and Street Fighter V was like initially announced almost right after Street Fighter IV had ended its tournament run. Is it too soon for like another Street Fighter, or should they practice with like another like Capcom All-Stars Fighting Jam first?
I don't think it's ever too soon for that. I think when it comes to games like this, because I don't know, Mike, would you agree that Street Fighter V was a failure? Do you agree with that, or do you disagree with that?
Like half and half. It started out as a failure and then it like turned a profit. There's an asterisk next to that because the profits were mostly due to the tournament scene.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, that's fair. But so it, in a way, it did kind of fail. It did kind of fail. So, you know, looking forward, putting out the next game is really whatever, you know, all fighting, any type of game. I was going to say fighting games, but any type of game is what we want, right? Like, so, okay, let's, it was okay, but let's make it better now. And I don't think it's too late, or too soon, rather. I think we're ready for it, Berlin.
Yeah, especially because it was console exclusive. I was one of those people that were pretty pissed off when they announced solely for PlayStation. I just started getting into Street Fighter 4 at that point. Because Street Fighter, like when Street Fighter 4 came out, it was like, I don't know, man. I was just, it happens to me with every game. I was just tired of it. It was the same fucking shit over and over again.
Oh, Bo Cephas. Yeah. Street Fighter 5 needs to have Dick Vitale announcing finishers. Yeah, baby!
I stopped paying attention to Street Fighter and all that, and then I started playing it again just because I was like, I was done with the whole clunky kind of like, you know, Street Fighter's like hit, and Mortal Kombat's like hit, move, hit. I don't know. I just was out of that for a little bit. So then I got back into it. And then they announced Street Fighter V was only PlayStation. I was like, that's the dumbest thing anyone can fucking do. That's stupid.
Yeah.
But they did it anyways.
Of course they did.
They didn't listen to me. This is the perfect time. I mean, this is a great time for another Street Fighter. As long as it's, it doesn't even have to be different than Street Fighter V, because there's so many of us who haven't even really got into Street Fighter V. I think I even own it on PlayStation now. It was free.
Yeah.
Wasn't it free?
It is free, but that what they did is if you didn't pay for it, they gave you like they switched the fighters every couple roster. So that's what it was. So you couldn't really play the full game, but you could still play the game, just, you know, not with every character at once.
I think it's, I mean, and so look, this stupid. Is just an announcement. This is just them
just
announcing
make it free. Six, people would play it.
It could still be the whole Metroid 4 logo thing where it's like, obviously there's going to be a new Street Fighter.
Yeah.
So even if it's not in the works now, they're going to say that it is because it's wrapping up the fucking season. So with that said, there may be a chance that this ticker has something a little more to it than just the announcement of a game, because you're kind of right. They did just add that fucking Saudi Arabia guy very recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also Luke was like the super brand new character.
That was an original guy too. Right. So obviously an announcement is like fucking duh. So maybe it is something else.
It would be great to see Capcom trying to run two fighting games again, because like they haven't did that since like Street Fighter Cross Tekken. And Street Fighter 4 were like side by side, so they gutted it. And
whatever happened to SNK's fucking or Namco's fucking version? Akuma, them putting Akuma in was their version of fucking Tekken Cross Street Fighter.
That's probably about it. Like,
everything that I'd read about that, Katsushiro Harada, the director and producer of Tekken, said that Capcom was always going to kind of get back us with that, but Street Fighter's old director Yoshinori Ono, he didn't want to do it because he wasn't proud of the sales. Ono is gone though. So
which rhymed, by the way, which rhymed.
so I think that the new Street Fighter heads are probably interested in opening up all of those doors that Ono had like shut down. That's one of the reasons why there wasn't a follow up to SNK versus Capcom Chaos, because Capcom wasn't happy with the way that the game was produced. So they threw all the onus on a SNK and didn't want to do talks again. So now that Ono is out and the new directors are opening up, it's like, yeah, they're doing this cross promotion with the mobile game. That could probably lead to a Capcom versus SNK 3 or maybe another follow-up to Chaos. because both of these companies can now use Unreal Engine 4 pretty effectively.
That's true. That's true. I got to say, every episode, we find something, a reason why Mike makes this show better, and the reason that he is actually knowledgeable, that he knows the names of the creators of Tekken, first and last, every name, both the old and new, okay, I just wanted to point that out.
I'm a fighting game nerd.
And it's great, we love it. All right, so last but not least, the Retro Reboot, what do you got?
This week I'm going to be, have you ever wondered why there weren't any Star Wars fighting games ever?
There was.
Was there?
Yep.
Ah, this there we are.
Retro Reboot.
Masters Star of the Terrakassi.
Masters of Terrakassi. I'll put it kindly because I've got way more foreign words. It's a very not ungood game.
Oh, so, God. I don't even know what that even meant.
Hey, you know what? The game is good if you play it like Bushido Blade and not like Tekken.
Yes. It was still pretty early for like 3D fighters around this time, and like Star Wars, it's like because in like LucasArts, they probably wanted to get in on the craze because like Tekken was blowing up, people were in the Virtual Fighter, and like LucasArts is like, hey, let's try it too, but these guys have never worked with fighting games before, and it kind of showed.
Oh, cool! I'm looking forward to this review for sure. Yeah, right on.
It's. I've also been playing it to try and add it to like the level 50 club of games to
be. Oh yeah, where are you at with that?
I am now on 11 games.
Ooh, okay.
I like beaten the story mode in this one with a Han Solo. The ending was like a 2.5 second clip of him and Chewie flying the Millennium Falcon. That was it.
You win.
Here's a cutscene with no words or anything. Cool.
Congratulations, you're a winner.
Yeah.
I beat Back to the Future. And that game is so fucking hard to beat. And I beat it. And all you get is like, it's like you went back to the, it's stupid. It just said like pretty much thanks for playing. That's it.
Yeah. It's like black screen with like a border. And it's just like, congratulations.
Hey, at least you didn't wake up from a dream. That's all.
That would have been like something, like even a picture would have been gratifying. Of like, if you ever play the game, it's impossible.
Yeah.
And then when you achieve the ending, you expect something, even an original piece of Michael J. Fox shaking like an earthquake or something.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And like, it was even more frustrating in like Back to the Futures 2 and 3 because. There's like no password system, so you had to beat that game in like one clear shot. You had to find 30 items, return them to the proper timeline they were in, and you have to do that in one magical run.
That's how I thought that's how the first one was.
Yeah,
once you die.
I think it was a little shorter though. I think it was like eight levels.
Yeah,
maybe even shorter than that. But
all right, oi, I like that.
Messed.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on to some EA news because, you know, we're always really excited to talk about EA. So
EA news.
Yeah. It's in the news. Yeah. So Electronic Arts, actually believe, are you ready for this? They believe that Halo Infinite has contributed to the dismal sales of Battlefield 2042, which blows my fucking mind because, didn't Battlefield 2042 just have nothing but bugs and bullshit? Like, what?
Here's a spin on the story. Devs. This is why devs develop games and don't speak. All right. Better spin on the story. Hey, Halo Infinite is only better because our game sucks so bad.
That's it. That's exactly what
happened.
Yeah.
Because Halo is Halo.
Right.
The fact that people kept playing Halo was because everything around it was garbage. Call of Duty is Call of Duty. You can play free Call of Duty. Battlefield is what we had. Battlefield is what we needed.
Right.
Battlefield is what we got.
Yeah.
Like Apex Legends doesn't really fill that gap for many players.
No. Well, definitely not. Like, I mean, yeah. Dude,
honestly, Battlefront. I go to Battlefront when I need to play a big fucking first person shooter game. It's right now Battlefront.
Bocephus said he paid for 2042 and uninstalled it.
I almost
sorry, bro.
I almost pre-ordered it.
They might actually no, they're not going to fix it because they. I mean, EA. They were part of Anthem and nothing.
Well, in a company town hall meeting with employees, they acknowledged the disappointing launch of the game and discussed plans to improve the game and the franchise going forward.
Why doesn't anybody tell us exactly what is wrong with the game?
Everything's
like,
a secret.
Like, oh, everything's people a secret. Just didn't like it. Maybe the shading or the colors or the sculpt of their groin was off. But there's got to be something that they could be like, look, this is what happened.
Cyberpunk.
All right? This conflicts with this, which crashes the game. No. People can't do this. This happens. This happens. This level happens. This is unbalanced. But no one's saying shit like that. They're just like, people don't like our fucking game.
Yeah.
Like, I know that there's the helicopter glitch, but that happens all the time, and big fucking deal. That's not, to me, something that destroys a game's sales. Something made people not buy the game, and then people bought the game, said the game sucked. That just doesn't happen. You just don't, like, this situation doesn't happen. Halo doesn't come out, and even its fan base says it's fucking shit.
Oh, like even like Halo 4, which I think people kind of disliked at first, but they still played it because the multiplayer was still accessible.
And those people were probably just bent out of shape because Bungie left, or because of whatever happened with, you know, however they left, you know, the split, 343 takes over. It's still fucking Halo, and they proved that they didn't need Bungie. Bungie was not fucking Halo. 343 is Halo.
How dare Halo do absolutely nothing to ruin this game for everybody?
Boo, Infinite got rid of the loadouts. Yeah. So, like, they didn't need them in the first place.
So stupid. Come on, EA. Go home. You're drunk.
EA. I want to play Hardline.
Oh, that's actually a better quote. Anyway. All right. So Fortnite announced that they're going to put new characters in the game. Imagine that. And this is obviously on the coattails of the new Uncharted movie. So they will Nathan Drake and Chloe Frazier will be playable characters within Fortnite. You will have the Uncharted characters from the video game and from the movie. So great.
Will people on Xbox?
Oh, but you'll get to play Uncharted characters on Xbox.
Yeah.
And Nintendo.
I might have to re-download it.
Just do that. Just like, yeah. Ha-ha.
Yeah. It's like last week we talked about the guy from Fortnite. You didn't know about that.
No.
So, okay, real quick, just because you weren't here, but so ESPN uploaded a video of The Rock doing the Super Bowl intro. And the actual headline read "The guy from Fortnite,"
because The Rock was on Fortnite.
I'm like, what? Like, he's like a 10-year-old, like fucking updating. Whatever. Anyway, yeah.
There's a part of me that almost wants to believe that was a rib, but I really think somebody in ESPN was like, I don't know who this fuck
is. I don't know. You're right. Like, I want to believe it's a rib, too. I'm with you on that.
It's got to be, because The Rock, I mean, you don't even need to know wrestling.
I know.
The Rock. I mean,
but still, just say Dwayne Johnson. Just leave it at that. You don't even have to say The Rock, but, you know, whatever. Anyway.
The guy from Fortnite.
The guy from
Fortnite. Also, they probably threw Fortnite in the title just to, like, make people, like, spurg.
I guess Tom Holland, you know, Spider-Man with a gun, will be the guy from Fortnite now, too.
God.
All right. We got movie news. Let's do that. I'm done with video games. Video games are for losers and awesome people. All right. The first thing is actually something that Mike, you reported on our website, and this is a movie that's in development for Netflix.
Yep.
Go ahead.
It looks like Netflix is interested in making a BioShock cinematic universe.
Okay.
I don't hate it. Like, there's that's pretty much like most of the details that they have.
Yeah, there's not much.
Vertigo and Take-Two are like looking for like directors and writers. BioShock's lore is pretty interesting. Let's see you guys.
Well, I think the biggest like maybe even Verlaine's thinking this too, but I mean the last BioShock game was made in 2013, right? I think it was 2012, 2013. Yeah. Is it even relevant? I don't know. Like, obviously, they're still fans of BioShock. I played the games. I do enjoy them, but like, I was never clamoring for a new BioShock game, like, ever. So I don't know. It, to me, it's kind of like, maybe this is just too late.
A little bit past its freshness date.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Verlaine, what do you think?
I've never played.
Sucking on a Coke over there.
I never played any of the games, but okay. what it has on everything is that, yeah. It's almost a whole generation of not doing anything. So if it comes out as a show, a lot of people are going to, it's going to come out as an original product, which could help it. People aren't going to be like, I fucking played the game. Fuck this. It's stupid. Like, they won't have a chance. It might drive sales for the game. I've never played the game, but the game was popular. So the story must've been good. And it's been so far that I think it'd be better than, it'd be better than fucking Halo. I mean, Halo's still an ongoing thing in a video game universe, and I think that's going to be one of the pivotal things when making video game movies now. Is like, I think it's going to be harder to put something out that's mirroring something that's still relevant.
Yeah.
You know, usually you'll reboot a movie when that movie is just forgotten. You almost want it to be on the cusp of forgotten because you want it to feel new to some people and be like, oh, there was a movie that made,
that's a good,
you know,
point.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But when you're... when you're releasing like Nightmare on Elm Street Part 6 and then all of a sudden you reboot Nightmare on Elm Street right after or at the same time, it's confusing for people, and I think it just would take people out of it. Same with the Halo. Like, okay, are these going to intertwine or not? With The Witcher. The Witcher did it. I've never watched The Witcher, but they kind of like, once The Witcher show came out, The Witcher video game isn't anything. Like, it's not in the news. Like, people don't talk about it. Like, they're kind of doing it right. Focus on one and then the other.
Yeah.
Because they're going to start... I don't know. I that's why I think that this could work better than more video games.
One thing's for sure. If BioShock fails, they can blame the Halo series for that.
Yes.
Sorry.
Blame Halo.
Just blame Halo for everything. That's fine. Yeah. I don't know.
You know why Halo's going to fail? Halo's going to fail.
I don't know. I was thinking that, but okay.
Halo's going to fail because, you know, it took them how many years to say, hey, let's put Master Chief in a Halo something other than the game. Like, they never did that. But Halo's going to fail because Halo is really about, like, the original story is about a fucking Halo. The same kind of Halo that had appeared in The Mandalorian.
Oh, wait.
So the Mandalorian and Star Wars actually did Halo live action before Halo did it.
You've got a point there.
Remember the last episode when the Mandalorian was on the ring? It was Halo. It was a fucking Halo planet. Never been seen before except for in the Halo game. Star Wars took it from them.
Yeah, okay.
They took it from them.
Yeah.
If they didn't have that scene, seeing something like that live action in Halo was the first time we've ever seen it.
Interesting.
I never thought of that. I'm curious to see if like the Halo show borrows some of like Jon Favreau's directing. Like,
I don't know. Yeah, so yeah, okay.
I want to take off Master Chief's helmet too. Like, I don't think you should do that. That's a bad idea.
Because he's a Mandalorian. They should actually do the crossover. Like,
yeah,
hey, like, Master Chief's actually a Mandalorian from the present,
or it's a female.
Master,
oh, do it.
Could be.
I'd love to see.
We've heard his voice though, right? Like at least that. So I don't know. Yeah.
Oh my God! Hey, you know what? Let's go back really quick to when I said I played Hitman. Really quick, people play Hitman and tell me that his voice is just the weirdest fucking thing.
Is it?
Hitman's voice is just so like. Dude, I don't even know. It's like deep and weird.
It doesn't sound like the voice that should come out of that.
Yes, it's man. Not at all.
It sounds like they got like somebody to like dub over him. Like they got Kevin Michael Richardson in there, like a dub over his voice because he has the voice of a guy who should be like 6'5" and 240 pounds.
So you're saying? Yeah. So you're saying? What is it, Agent 47? 40.
Yeah.
So you're saying Agent 47 is today's Rick Astley, because that voice should not come out of that body. So is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah. All right. I don't really know his voice, but I'm definitely going to check it out now.
You know what? I think I said that because I would have I would put 47's video game voice on Master Chief, and it would be okay. It would fit.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. But
with like a speak like this, so like
straight up, just no. Like straight up, like. Master Chief.
All right. Another movie just announced, and Verlaine, you're actually, and this is not even a joke, you're actually pretty excited about this. Chippendale Rescue Rangers coming to Disney Plus, I believe. Yeah. Why are you excited about this?
Mainly, the thing that got me like hooked was that the Lonely Island is part of it,
is producing it
or whatever. So
it'll be fun.
That in itself is it's going to be hilarious. And you can tell because, I mean, when you get these reboots, it's either all CGI or they bring the cartoon into life to make it lifelike. But this one does.
They're doing both. Yeah, they're doing both.
One of them has the CGI
surgery, as they put it.
So Chip, like, one of them is two-dimensional and one of them is three-dimensional, and that's sweet.
Yeah, Chip's like still 2D. He even puts on like a 3D jacket over the like 2D animation. It's weird.
That's so weird.
I think it's gonna be funny just because of Lonely Island. That's like the sole reason why I would watch that.
Cool.
If it was anything else, like just a normal like maybe.
Yeah, like did you watch the DuckTales reboot? No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
I didn't.
Even though Don Cheadle was whatever. So weird. So anyway, even Don Cheadle couldn't save that. All right. The next thing. Sega has announced, as they put it, a special message about the future of the Sonic franchise from the CEO of the Sega Corporation. Mike, do you know the CEO's name of the Sega Corporation?
I'd be
very impressed if you did. Haruki Satomi. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Yeah, I'm sure you were. He goes,
I was just gonna pronounce it differently.
We are delighted to announce that the third Sonic theatrical film and the first live action Sonic series for Paramount Plus are being actively developed. We've got a remarkable partnership with Paramount, and we are excited to continue expanding the Sonic the Hedgehog franchise with them. 2022 is shaping up to be a significant year for the franchise, with the second film being released this April, as well as Sonic Frontiers, the highly anticipated video game. I don't know if I agree with that. Coming this holiday, Sonic has been beloved by fans across the world over 30 years and blah, 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 blah. All right, so yeah.
Shabba-labba-dibbity, what?
He's such an iconic character, he survived practically off of a character design alone and not his mediocre, terrible video game.
That's right. And not only that, there will be a Sonic Cinematic Universe, which means Knuckles will be getting a series on Paramount Plus in 2023. Of course, voiced by the Driss, Idris Elba. Yes. Sure, let's go. Let's go. Sonic, he can really move. Sonic.
It's really risky.
He's got an attitude. Yeah,
I feel like they really are putting the cart before the horse with this.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, they can't. They're going to fail at this. The movie's fine. You can't. They're getting greedy right now. They don't have a big enough universe to do that. And you cannot have an ongoing cinematic universe and then have an ongoing TV universe when you literally have four fucking characters in the movie.
Yeah,
Marvel can do it because they have so much going on that they can do all of them and still separate them yet not separate them. Sonic, you can't, because what, you're going to have a series based on Knuckles, but guess what? Knuckles probably won't be able to do anything that's going to affect any of the cinematic universe. So almost like, why watch it then?
Yeah,
because it's going to be Idris Elba as Knuckles. Well, then what the fuck, dude? Then they got to worry about, okay, what's canon and what's not? What if Sonic comes and does this, blah, 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 blah. And you're also working with the fucking anti-movie that's... Deadpool's the only one that pulls it off right now.
Yeah.
Right. Not to mention, you also have a bunch of human characters in the regular Sonic movie that you're trying to keep established. So you're going to... So what are you going to do? Are you going to bring in Shadow and he's going to get his own movie?
You know what they're going to do? They're going to fucking make the series happen in the fucking Sonic world where there is no humans, and then it's just going to be another fucking animated series.
Yep.
I don't know. They just say they don't have... Their options are very limited because of what they have, and they're... They are literally walking on eggshells because they got fucking lucky as fuck after that horrendous initial reveal of Sonic and the fact that, you know, Sonic doesn't really succeed. It grabs the attention and that's it. You got all this Sonic shit out there, all these Sonic games that really don't wow anyone. They just like entertain.
Yeah, like I've thought about like Sonic lore. Like, look at the games themselves. It started out as a blue hedgehog. You run and you gather emeralds. The Chaos Emeralds are mystical powers. But then look at the shit that they've done ever since. Sonic and the Black Knight, he's got to fight King Arthur characters. Sonic and the like Secret Rings. Like, there's always some weird mysticism that they're trying to attach to Sonic, and none of it really sticks in like a procedural manner, like the same way like Transformers would. Like, you know the battle between the Autobots and the Decepticons and the battle for Cybertron and things like that. Like, you can map that in your head. With Sonic, what is there?
Yeah.
There's like so many different takes on the character that I don't think it's substantial enough to wrench a cinematic universe.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, so the characters, so like, okay, so if you're gonna do like a solo series with Knuckles, okay, fine, do it, that's fine. But like, is anyone would you be interested in a solo of Tails?
No.
Would you be interested in a solo for Shadow?
There's enough Shadow fans out there.
Yeah,
so I think the casual person.
But casual, no. Silver, no. Yeah,
there are a lot.
Amy Rose, no. Of course not. Maybe Robotnik. That might be the one. But I
maybe yeah.
But
yeah, they have something good. They're gonna do. This is the first time that they that I can say that about anything like. They have something with Sonic right now, and they can make one fucking wrong move and lose everything, lose all credibility for everything that they do. If they fuck up the Sonic cinematic universe.
Yeah.
I think their best bet would just make a live action Sonic show or something in that universe, but do not tie it to the fucking movie at all. Maybe don't even make it and save those little ideas for the next fucking movie.
Yeah.
That. Like, just and keep it with like a Saturday matinee feel. I don't need to be out epicked every time.
Every movie could just introduce another one of their little characters or whatever the fuck. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what Marvel did. So, yeah. I mean, to be fair, I mean, Marvel pretty much laid out the way to do it, right? Like, they laid it out. Like, you can see it, and you can observe how they did it. And, like, you know, what we were saying on the show, you know, probably years ago, too. Like, Verlaine, you have mentioned, like, when back in 2010, they were like, oh, yeah, this movie isn't coming out till, what, 2012, right? Or something like that.
They'd say 2018. I'm like, what?
We're never going to get there. And then all of a sudden, it's 2021 or 2022 now. And it's like, so
I'm not much for looking. I don't like seeing the game plan. Because half of it, to me, I don't believe. Because so much can change.
Sure,
and then it looks so far away. It's like,
right.
I wish you just, like, do the old days. I want to wake up one morning and fucking just see a brand new movie. Not trailer. I want to see a brand new movie is just out. Hey,
Nintendo does that with video games.
I know.
Yeah, that's why I didn't follow a lot of details on The Batman. I just ignored a lot of the stories, and I just want to go and watch it with as little influence as possible.
Yep. Yeah, I'm actually excited to see that one. I'll be honest. I really, it looks pretty awesome, and it's getting great reviews. I know that. So, sorry to ruin that, Mike. I know you said you weren't listening to anything, but it's getting greater.
Great.
All right. Let's end the show right after Verlaine gives a amazing, amazing review on the dumpster fire known as the Book of Boba Fett. Go ahead.
So, I don't know. I'm assuming that when you guys talked about it, you fucking hated it.
We hated it.
Yep. So, yeah, the show itself.
Thanks for listening to the show.
I had a feeling that it would happen just because Boba Fett in general was just, you know, he was nothing. And he was just somebody, a bunch of people picked out one fucking cool looking character and made a whole world about him. I enjoyed this last episode. There was some stupid shit. I mean, there was a lot of stupid stuff, and that, you know, came full circle when you see at the very end, directed by Robert Rodriguez again. Thank you, sir. But all in all, I kind of enjoyed it. I enjoyed the fact that both of the Mandalorians were fighting together. They showed that they really knew some shit. Yeah, they had to fucking do some dumb shit to make them, you know, the climactic weeks part of the movie.
They use their jetpacks, though.
Them use their jetpacks. It showed Boba Fett actually doing something cool for once and not just being a out of shape old guy.
Yeah, just in the tank. What do they call that? What's the tank?
The back the tank.
Yeah, come on.
Which just gave him that old man feel, like he never wanted to do anything. So it's like, ugh, is this what he's gonna be? But it showed him fight. I like that. I like the fact that I don't know why. I think I'll figure it out later. But I love the fact that they brought in fucking Cad Bane from this fucking, like, just fucking, like, the next best thing to Ahsoka appearing. You got Cad Bane from solely the Clone Wars tying things together like people want. And then you fucking kill him in the same fucking series.
Right.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's like saying, hey, look, here, everybody, cartoon. Bah! There you go. And I hope they keep doing it to a bunch of them stupid characters from the cartoon. But anyways, I thought it was really cool that, like, Boba Fett, they showed the fight. They showed what we predicted, little Grogu going back to the Mandalorian, because he can't – they'd have to explain too much.
It would be so stupid. Nobody wants to watch the Mandalorian, especially, like, the casuals, right? No one wants to watch the Mandalorian without Grogu. It just it doesn't work. So
you torture merch.
And plus, if Grogu became a Jedi, he wouldn't die.
He would have to die.
Well, now he's gonna have to die either way, right? Like,
See, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Now he doesn't have to die, because the only reason he would have had to die is because the Force Awakens. The whole point of Kylo Ren is that Luke's temple was destroyed by Kylo Ren and all that shit, or whatever the fuck happened. Like, that is, and everybody there died. Kylo Ren killed everybody. So, Grogu, they'd have to explain, where is he during these all this fucking movies and all this Order 66 shit.
Right.
Now, with being with the Mandalorian, no matter what the fuck happens, like, even if they came out with a new sequel, Grogu could still exist, because he lives hundreds and hundreds of years. He's got armor. He has the Force. He's just not being trained by Luke. He has it. He's a very good weapon. So I think it's a good move. I think it's the only move that they could have made, you know, and Grogu did unfortunately make the Mandalorian very popular among people who never would have checked it out.
It's true though.
That being said, they also, there was a lot of importance, I think, to this, the decision, which was, you know, obviously the episode before when Luke was being a dick and would make him choose. And I think that's actually going to be kind of, it's prepping us up to take sides in something that's going to happen, because, you know, now the Mandalorians are affiliated with Boba Fett, who, if you are a cinematic person, Boba Fett's a bad guy.
He is.
So the Mandalorians, as far as we're concerned, kind of bad guys. And the way, you know, even the real Mandalorians were treating, you know, Jyn, they're being dicks to him. But they're about compassion and attachment. And then they made it a point to show Luke being a dick and saying, we aren't about attachment. Which, whatever the fuck, we know that makes Darkseid blah, blah, blah. So I think rubbing that in our face is going to make it easier when the Mandalorian has to come up against a Jedi.
So Jack is throwing a wrench in your whole thing. You ready? He could end up losing the Force later when he's grown.
I don't think he will.
What say you on that?
I think Yoda's species itself is one of the most in tune Force creatures in the universe. They're so rare. I don't think that would happen. I think that it's what makes Grogu valuable as a character. You think just a small little, like, if he, without the Force, he couldn't even maneuver. He couldn't jump up a milk crate. He couldn't do anything.
No.
I don't think he would. I think he's just going to, if anything, be more Force sensitive, do things every once in a while and pass out. Maybe he'll still be, maybe he'll get a saber and find his own crystal and it'll be unstable like Kylo Ren's. You know, because he never had the training.
The correct training, yeah. Well,
But I think that it's good, because
like a wild card.
Look, we've already have the setup for the Jedi versus the Mandalorian fighting. Like that's already there. They're still like enemies. I think it's going to be, it's just going to make it. So when Grogu is really fucking shit up against Luke and his little fucking Padawan, we're not going to feel bad about that. Because it's like, all right, he did kind of fucking say, you can't hang out with this dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, what if Grogu was the one who fucking burned down the camp and they only blame Kylo Ren and Kylo Ren's like, fuck it, I'm going to go to the bad side then because I can't prove my fucking innocence.
Oh, well, that's interesting. That's
either way, yeah. I thought it was good. I thought it was smart to end it with the Mandalorian. Remember the dude with the eye? The cybernetic eye?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Why did he do that spin move? There was a move where he could have taken a step forward and just shot, but he's like, scoot over, spin shot. Dude, watch it again and
I mean, but there's another scene where right before the robots showed up, you know, with the force field around them, that everyone cheers, and it was the fakest cheer. Like, it was obviously it was not them cheering, it was like a recording of like a random crowd cheering. Yeah. Like, a lot of that took me out. What's the other one? Fennec is her name.
Fennec, yeah.
Yeah, Fennec.
Yeah.
When she helped out the biker gang, yeah, or whatever.
They were pinned down.
Yeah, and then when she left, literally her bike was like sitting right next to them. Like, how did they not see her show up? I don't know.
It's Robert Rodriguez, man.
So stupid, man.
Movie magic.
So we got to see the Rancor.
Of course we did.
The Rancor.
Yeah, but then when you showed up, you're like, oh yeah, that's right, right? Like that's kind of what. But it was also like, of course we're gonna see that. But we saw everything in that last episode. Like, of course he was gonna use the jetpack. Of course he was gonna get the Rancor. Like, there was so much that
and
was like
his knee missile.
Yeah, whatever. And then they killed off Timothy Oliphant. Come on, what are we doing here?
Who's that?
He's the marshal.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh, he was like the that was like the
or did he die or yeah or,
the, I didn't see the post credit. Yeah, I guess he was in the Bacta tank or something.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, he was like kept alive. So then we come back. Let me refresh my memory. I don't remember if Mando left the whatever was left of the Mandalorian religion with the dark saber. Did he leave it there with them, or did he?
No, he had it. He was fighting the robots.
Yeah, he had it. Okay. Yeah, he had it at the end there. So.
All right. It slipped my mind for a moment.
No, you're good.
I thought should the battle come to head with the Jedi and the Mandalorian, that Darksaber is going to have like pretty big implications on his ability to wield it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, he's got to be trained correctly. Isn't that how it, or whatever? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
So, all right. I think that's when we can wrap it up. Thank you, everyone, for taking their time to listen to the show. We do appreciate it if you listen to us live. Thank you. Thank you. If you listen to the recording of the show, yes, thank you even more. Like I say, every show, downloading the show actually helps the show even more. So we do appreciate that. You can check out all of our articles, Mike's articles, Gina's articles, his retro reboot that's on Tuesday, right? Yeah, you've been on Tuesday.
Yep.
So gamefixshow.com. You can also see our social medias there. You can support us on Patreon. There's lots to do. So please check out gamefixshow.com. Okay, so there is only one thing left to do, other than saying thank you to Verlaine. Thank you. And thank you to Mike. Thank you. It's your world. Pay attention.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
See ya.
I love you.
Insert coin.
Adios, turd nuggets.
Well, hey, podcast listener, my name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. There is I don't know. I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show, wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.